Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And I'll remind you, as I do every week, that if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, all you need to do is write to us. The CDs are free. Whenever you write, be sure you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our Bible study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, as we gather today, Lord, we gather around the radio and around the Bible, Lord, looking into your word. And Father, we pray the Spirit of God would illuminate the scriptures. Lord, I pray you would help me to teach everything that is accurate, nothing that is inaccurate. And Lord, that you would take this and that you would use it to accomplish your purpose and your will, to encourage the believers, to maybe convict the unbelievers, so that you would bring them the saving knowledge of Christ. So, Father, we commit this study to you, and we pray it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. It is really good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you have a Bible before you, I'm going to ask you to open to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We have come in our study. We have now come to the seal judgments that should be poured out upon the earth during the tribulation time. And I'll say this. We are about to enter into a portion of scripture. When I did these messages at church, I did them, a matter of fact, I have a date on this one, September 17th, 2017. So these were done almost 3 years ago. I didn't realize it had been that long. Today, it is April the 17th, 2020, while I'm recording this. And right now, we are still basically locked down at the church and under the stay-at-home orders. This message is going to air the end. I believe this is going to air on the 30th and the 31st of May. So I don't know where we'll be to that time. But I will say this, that it is thrilling for me now to bring to you the rest of the book of Revelation, all of it. It's thrilling for me. But it's really thrilling to get into this part because of things that I'm seeing today and what we'll be able to connect with these seals and the bowls and the trumpet judgments, with the revelation of the Antichrist and what he's going to do, and things that are recorded in Revelation, like chapter 13, that we're going to look at whenever we get there, and just be able to connect them with what's going on today. So that's the direction we're going. But let me get you back here to Revelation. Now, chapter 5, Jesus took the scroll with the right hand out of the right hand of the Father, and those were the events. Chapter 5, if you want to look at it this way, that records the events that occur at the beginning of the tribulation in heaven. Chapter 6 gives to us the events as they unfold on the earth, the start of that. And so whenever we come to chapter 6 now, the seals are going to start to be opened up. And as they are opened up, the judgment of God begins to fall on the earth. But I need to remind you about something, and this is a controversial subject and with a lot of people, but I know what I believe and where we stand. But whenever these judgments fall on the earth, they will not fall on the church, because we who know Jesus will not go through the 7 years of tribulation. We will not. Right now, here's what you got to understand. Right now, God is working with the church. He's gathering a bride for his son. Once that bride is complete, that bride will be taken out of here, out of off the earth, and the bride will be taken, we will be taken back to meet the groom, where the marriage will take place in heaven. Okay, once the bride is complete, God will go back to work with the nation of Israel again. And he's going to, they're out of the nation of Israel, out of national Israel, there's going to be a remnant that is going to be saved. And we'll get into that as we go through this. But we will not be here during the tribulation. Revelation 3:10 says, Jesus speaking to the church, he's saying, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation or trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So he promised the church that he would keep them out from, that's the idea right there, keep them out from the trials, the time, the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. In the book of Daniel, Daniel 9:24, this is one of the keys to understanding this too. It said, God tells Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Here we see that Daniel was told by Gabriel that 70 weeks of years were determined upon Daniel's people. Okay, listen to this again. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Thy people. Who's Daniel's people? They're the Jews. They're the Jews. They are not the church. So far, now listen, he said 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So far, 69 weeks of years have passed. Daniel 24, I don't think that's the right reference. Maybe Daniel 9, I'm sorry, Daniel 9, 25 and 26 say this, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, and even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." Now listen to this. The 70 weeks of years began when Nehemiah was given the command to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And Gabriel told Daniel that after 69 weeks of years, the Messiah would come and he would be cut off, which means he would die. This all happened just as Gabriel had foretold. Okay, so the 70 weeks began when Artaxerxes gave to Nehemiah the command to go back and to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. So that's when the 70 years began. Daniel was also told that after 69 of those years, that the Messiah would come and he would be cut off and he would die. And so that all happened. We know that it all happened. Now, what Daniel and the Jews did not know was, and I want you to listen to this, and a lot of people don't understand this, that between the 69th and the 70th week of years, there is a gap of age, and that is the time which we are in today, known as the church age. The 70th week is not yet come. It will begin after the rapture of the church. Okay, whenever he says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, they are weeks of years. They are weeks of years. So that so far 69 weeks of years have taken place. But the 70th week, which is that last 7-year period that it will begin after the rapture, has not yet started. The rapture takes the world and its inhabitants into the 70th week, and the loosening of the first seal begins the events which lead to the end of this world as we know it today. Okay, so I want you to listen to this. What we are about to look at, if you know Christ as Savior, this is the only view of this that you're going to get to see. We're not going to see it personally. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be raptured away in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to get our glorified bodies. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. what a day that'll be. But we're not there yet. We're not there. But that rapture has to occur. And it, listen, the rapture is something that is imminent, meaning that it can happen at any time. There, it's a signless event in this, in the sense that there is nothing that has to happen before the rapture can happen. Nothing. So, but, okay, so listen to this. Before the rapture happens, after the rapture happens, then the world goes into the tribulation period. And I think that what we're seeing today is that I think that we are seeing the stage being set for that tribulation period because of all the parallels that we can connect. We'll get into that as we go through these studies. That brings me to the first point today, seal number one. And I hope we can get through everything I got before me, but I don't know if we'll make it. Revelation 6:1, watch the verse. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Okay, nothing happens until Jesus opens one of the seals of the scroll. The significance of this is the fact that everything that is about to unfold is all under the control of our Lord. Verse 1 again, and I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals. So it's all under God's control. Then you have the rider on a white horse under this first seal. Watch 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay, let me first of all say this. This is not Jesus Christ. This is not Christ on this white horse. He will not return at the beginning of the tribulation period. He will return at the end of the great tribulation period. Revelation 19:11-13 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were as many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So that's Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation period, at the end of the great tribulation. But here in Revelation 6:2, this is not Christ. This is the Antichrist, is who this is, which raises a question. Who is the Antichrist? He is Satan's masterpiece. The Antichrist has been restrained from coming on the scene for thousands of years. Satan has been restrained from bringing his masterpiece on the world stage. There have been many whom Satan has groomed to fill this position, but they couldn't come because the time was not right. See, let me explain something to you. Satan knows that there's coming a time whenever he can bring his masterpiece, the Antichrist, on the scene. He knows that. But he doesn't know the time. Nobody knows the day. Nobody knows. Only God the Father knows. So throughout the ages, Satan always has to be grooming somebody that can step into that position. That's why, now listen, that's why you see throughout the ages, you see so many people that you wonder, you see certain rulers that rise up and people say, I wonder if that's the Antichrist, and they have all the characteristics. Well, they could be if the time was right. But so far, the time's not been right. It's not been right. That all started with Nimrod back in the book of Genesis. He is the first type of the Antichrist. Back then, he was a world ruler that ruled over the people and controlled the people back then and led them in rebellion against God. And so throughout the ages, there have been many people that have risen to power that people say, well, I wonder if that's the Antichrist. They weren't, but they were being groomed by Satan for that position. But there, right now, there's a restraining, and he cannot come on a scene. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-8 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that as that the day of Christ is at hand. Okay, they thought they had They thought they missed the rapture and that they were going into the tribulation period. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. He says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Then he talks about, that's, by the way, that's the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. Verse 4 talks about him, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's midpoint of the tribulation. We'll get to all that as we go through this. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now watch this, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. What's that saying? What's that mean? Only the word letteth there means restrain. Only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Okay, so that we know that there is a person that stands in the way of the revelation of the Antichrist, because the next verse says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the question is, who's the he that's in the way? The he is the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. And so once the rapture takes place, the Spirit of God, now listen, he's not going to be taken off the face of the earth, but his restraining powers are going to be lifted. Today, the church is the salt and the light of the earth. We're the salt and the light. When the church is gone, the salt and the light is gone. And so then you have the revelation, then shall that wicked, it says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Today, Satan is restrained from revealing the Antichrist. But there's coming a day, and it may be far sooner than what we realize, that the restrainer will be taken away, taken off the face of the earth, we'll raptured out of here, and then the revelation of the Antichrist will take place. So I say all that to say this, we will not see that, because we're gone before that happens. We may see him. He may be a political figure in the world somewhere, most likely will. And we may assume that he's the Antichrist, and we may be right. But we will not see him come to power, because that won't happen until after we're gone. Let me get you now to the rider's appearance. Watch chapter 6, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. We can learn much about the Antichrist if we take some time and look closely at his entrance here. First of all, he's riding a white horse. We've already looked at the return of Jesus Christ in Revelation, and we saw that he will come on a white horse also. So when I see here that the Antichrist is pictured on a white horse, it tells me that he's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit. Keep that in mind. The Jews today are looking for the first coming of Jesus Christ, and they're looking for Jesus to set up his kingdom. Satan, I believe, will do all he can to deceive the Jews, and one way in which he will do that is by working through the Antichrist to deceive the Jews in an attempt to destroy them. That's going to be his goal in the tribulation period, to destroy the nation of Israel. Let me tell you why, and we're going to talk about this a lot as we go through this study. There are two things that are promised to the nation of Israel that are not promised to the church. One is the kingdom. The kingdom is promised to the nation of Israel. Okay, keep that in mind. Number two, the earthly return of Christ is promised to the nation of Israel. It's not promised to us. We're promised his return in the air. We're not promised. We don't look for his return to the earth. Okay? So those two things, promised to the nation of Israel. You have the promise of Jesus' return and the promise of the kingdom. So Satan is going to do his best to deceive and to destroy the nation of Israel, because he believes that if he can destroy the nation of Israel, number one, Christ won't come back. Number two, he won't set up his kingdom. If there's no Israel here, there's nothing for him to return to. And he won't bring in a kingdom, because Israel won't be here, because it was promised to them. So therefore, he's trying to destroy them so that he can remain the God over this world. You understand that? That's why all the focus falls on the nation of Israel in the tribulation period, not the church. The church isn't going to be here. He's going to focus on the nation of Israel. Now, let me show you how far this deception will go. Revelation 13, 1 through 3. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now listen, the beast there is the Antichrist. He's going to receive a deadly head wound, which probably means he's going to die. But it says here in this verse that the deadly wound is healed. Most likely that means he's going to raise from the dead. He's going to counterfeit the resurrection of Christ, is what he's going to do. And in doing so, he will get the world to follow after him. And he will get the majority of Israel, I believe, to follow after him. I'll get to that as we go through all of this, but I'll get touch on a little bit as we go on today. Now, I want you to see what Jesus said. I want you to listen to what Jesus said about the deception of Satan in Matthew 24, 11, and then verse 24. It says, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." It's going to be a very deceiving time. Very deceiving. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 and 10 says this about the Antichrist. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness, and them that perish." Getting back to Revelation 6, we see that the Antichrist will be a counterfeit. He's coming on a white horse, just like Jesus will at the end of the tribulation. He's coming on a white horse. Number two, he carries a bow. He carries a bow. It says he that sat on him on the white horse had a bow. He had a bow. The bow speaks of power. The Antichrist will be the world ruler, and he will be a very powerful man. In Revelation 13, 2, 4, 5, and 7, it says this, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and the mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great swelling things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, it's 3.5 years, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." So he's going to be an extremely powerful individual. Politically, he's going to be extremely powerful. Number three, he has a bow, but he has no arrows. And he's wearing a crown. This is very interesting. It's a continuation of the fact that he's a counterfeit. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will come and establish world peace. And he will also establish peace with the nation of Israel. The bow without arrows speaks of peace and power. The crown speaks of victory. Let me explain what the Antichrist will do. Satan will work through the Antichrist to deceive as many as he possibly can. In the Old Testament, God has promised that true peace and safety will exist when there are four certain conditions which come together on the earth. Number one will be the regathering of Israel in their homeland. Jeremiah 32, 37, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely." So there has to be the gathering of the nation of Israel before there can be true peace. Number B, there will be a great world ruler who will be Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Okay, it says in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So there has to be, Jesus Christ has to be ruling before there can be world peace. See, there will be a new temple in Jerusalem for the worship of God. Ezekiel 37, 25 through 28, they that dwell in the land that I will give unto Jacob my servant, they shall dwell in the land that I shall give unto Jacob my servant, wherein their fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. My servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them and an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So there will be a new temple in Jerusalem for the worship of God. D, there will be a covenant of peace made with the nation of Israel. And that's what Antichrist is going to come. And all these things are going to look like they have appeared to come together. But ultimately, it's going to be deception. It's going to be deception. I'm going to come back to that next week because there are things that we really need to see in the midst of all of this. But here's what I want you to understand, that whenever the tribulation comes, we that know Christ, we will not be here. We're going to be raptured away before that. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And as I say all the time, and I'll say it again, if you ever desire a copy of any of our programs, just write to us and include the date. We'll send you the CD for free. Include a date and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.